Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. But, that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We've got a mighty hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss with grin the britches. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
Cannon, red cannon, red cannon, cannon red cannon, red cannon, red cannon.
Oh, wait, oh, cannon, are we ready?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We were doing our pro union. The cannon is red. Fremont cannon is red. And I just want to screw some people. Sorry, Keegan and other guys, but Chris likes the UNLV. It's his hometown school. And for those who've never heard the show before, thanks for finding us. This is the Mountain West Connection show.
You may now tune into your other cultish-like parents' podcasts.
Yes, Red Cannon.
No, seriously, though. He's Jeremy, I'm Chris. Basically, this is our recap show for week... We're finishing week 9. Yeah. Wow.
Wow, yeah. Website, mwcconnection.com. Same thing on Twitter. And, yeah, week 9's in the books, and it's... We'll get to the Fremont Cannon game later. We go chronological order. And the first game of the week, oh, man.
God damn it. No.
Boise State at BYU.
No. God.
We have to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
We have to talk about the poor tackling. We have to talk about the predictive play calling. And we have to talk about how Coach Pete likes to warm up his players during pregame.
And we have to talk about how 4 turnovers changed essentially the outcome of the game. Otherwise, yeah.
Did you notice on most of those turnovers that they were trying to do some sort of shifty legwork kind of deal, like their Deion Sanders out there?
Yeah. Yeah. I. You know what, though? That comes with youth. Because, I mean, 2 of those fumbles, okay, Ajayi fumbled. He's still a sophomore. Remember that.
But he fumbled.
Shane Williams Rhodes and his fancy footwork. The guy's a freshman, okay? He's still maturing, but that's a learning. You know what? That's a learning point. Don't be fancy.
It wasn't just protect the damn ball.
Yeah,
it wasn't like he's trying to get extra yards. It was just let me just sidestep in, or like not. Well, he was trying to get extra yards, but it's not like he's
trying to get extra yards. But it
wasn't,
you know,
a do or die situation.
He's making up for his lack of size by just trying to dance around the receivers. The problem is BYU's front 7 is too damn good for that.
Yeah. No. Okay. Before we get to the game, did you watch the entire game?
Yes.
So I was at the game, so it was pretty cool to see a few things there. But did you notice the one play where a BYU defensive back got basically his whatever, he lost his cleats
on that bubble screen play? No, I may have missed that.
Oh, there was so much junk on Twitter. It was a pass to who was it? Williams Rhodes. A little screen pass, and it's like he's just doing like a basketball move, like a little hip shake.
Yeah.
And the guy, Sky Pobe from BYU, basically fell on his butt. It jokes around, so there's reason. If you notice this game, there's reason the BYU secondary is 10 yards off the line of scrimmage on every pass play. That is why. And if you've seen it, I'm surprised you missed it, but it was the funniest thing. I literally just bust out laughing for a good 2 minutes with everybody.
Yeah, and there were some promising moments with that game. I mean, the game was not over. The game really wasn't over until Boise State couldn't drive anymore.
Well, here's the thing.
Because they were down 37-20, they were down 34-20, and they, you know, down by 14 points with the time that they had left, they still could have very much caught up. And,
yeah, it didn't feel like it. Two scores is not a lot. The game didn't feel like they were close, but they were within striking distance through the second half. They just couldn't put anything together.
No, and this is going to come away, once again, poor tackling.
Not just poor tackling. This is, you're trying to tackle guys like Jamal Williams or Cody Hoffman with one arm. And trying to, I saw multiple times going after the, even Taysom Hill, he's a pretty big quarterback. I saw a couple of times where they would try to maybe kind of wrap up and try to tomahawk the ball. And then the guy just slips right by him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, the early scores, because BYU took advantage of a fast start. And Boise State couldn't start as fast. If Boise State could have kept up at the beginning of the game, this game would have been a lot closer. Because if you look at the box score, you have, outside of the four turnovers killed Boise State. But look, time of possession, BYU only had 5 more minutes.
Yeah, it was pretty even across the board, everything else.
Total yards, there were only 75 more yards by BYU. First downs, BYU only had 5 more first downs. Third down efficiencies were relatively the same, 8 for 18 for Boise State, 7 for 19 for BYU.
Yeah.
I mean,
the only real difference was the
racked up 214 rushing yards against BYU.
Yeah, they still Ajayi averaged almost 7 yards a carry. Here's the thing. The game started slow. What was your impression on that first fourth down going for it? When it was 4th and 3 at the third, it would have been probably too long for a field goal. Is there a kicker capable of making a 52-yarder?
Ooh.
I'll have to look up his stats, but
Goodale has never made a 50. I think Goodale's longest is 48. No, he's actually never made even a 40-yarder, at least this season.
Why wouldn't they do? I know they had Joe South when they had Southwick and they do that pooch kick. Why not line up for the field goal, snap it directly to Goodall, let him just pooch it inside the 10-yard line? Because you're in that range where you got to have a pretty good kicker. Not excellent, but well above average, which I don't think Boise really has or thinks they have at the moment.
Hey, but if we're so tricky, why not go for Eastern Kentucky, I think, pulled off against Morehead State?
What was that? I don't recall.
It was a rugby-style kick on a fourth down. But it was a kick directly to the receiver. And the receiver caught it.
Oh, yes, I saw that. That's
a completely legal play.
Because it was a backwards kick.
Yeah.
Or a kick behind. Wait, is either a backwards kick where it's like a lateral or is it a kick?
No, it was a kick. It was a kick that went and they caught it behind the line of scrimmage.
I knew it was one of the two. It was either forward kick behind the line of scrimmage or like, kind of like a sideways kick. But I remember that. And it's, I don't know. I know they're risky. They went for it 2 on 2 of 5 times. But I was figuring you're driving down the field. They looked pretty good with Jay Ajayi ran the ball fine on that first drive. But then I don't know why they didn't. Because if you look through the game, there are points in the game where they would be able to get downfield against the BYU secondary. Hedrick was harassed throughout the game by Ethan, Monomalu, Bronski, Fusi. Every knockdown pass that BYU always seems to do. They knocked down, at least 4 passes this game? They knocked down a lot, and I was thinking about after the game, I thought they were closer than the 35, but here's what they do. They run on first down, run on second down, so you have to throw on third and fourth down. Why not do a draw play? If you're going to just mess with them, do a draw play in 4th and 3, or like a delayed draw play. Why not do that with the way Ajayi was running? He had 5 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards on the player.
Ajayi didn't pick up until through the second quarter.
Sure, but I don't know. That's just kind of weird. Because you're running. I get it. You run on first down. They ran too many times. On first and second down, it's always a run. I'm looking here. On their first 5 possessions, every play was a handoff to Ajayi.
But you know what? That's traditional football as well. And, I know I just mentioned traditional football with Boise State.
What are you talking about, sir? That makes no sense.
But that's how if you're a very conservative play caller, to try and see what the defense is going to throw, you're always going to run on first and second down.
Yeah, but I'm looking here out of the entire game. Seriously, I'm looking. They've thrown so far two passes. They threw three times on first down the entire game. No, excuse me, four times out of all the drives. Four times. Or sorry, I got one. Well, second down. If you discount the fourth quarter, they threw three times on the first down. Okay.
We're getting into this probably a little bit too deep, but let me ask you this. Was this game a case of Boise State beating themselves or BYU just absolutely manhandling Boise State? You were at the game.
I saw
the game from TV.
BYU pretty much had the game in hand, it seemed like to me.
Yeah.
Even though, because like I said earlier, while we were looking at the game, because we were kind of in a press box, not bored, but like the third quarter, not a ton was happening. There, early on in the third quarter, I should say, there wasn't too much going on until later in until the end of the part after the two field goal and BYU touchdown was 31-6. But we saw Boise have the touchdown, and then when they had the second touchdown, like, oh, they're actually in this game. But it never seemed like they were never in this game. This seemed like a blowout almost from basically at halftime, because the real killer in this game was that the two touchdowns within 3 minutes in the end of the second.
Right, quarter. And the other killer of this game was the two turnovers in the first half while Boise State was driving.
Yeah, drives just seemed to stall out, but it just seemed like BYU was the better team, at least going up against the defense. Because watching off, once J.J. got off, I could see they could make some things happen, and they could pass the ball a little bit, but it just seemed they didn't try to go downfield, which Chris Peterson said he wanted to do until late in the second half. And they had some success in it later in the game. They should have gotten the ball to William George more often. While everybody complained about those bubble screens, they would have worked if they didn't do it every single time. Well, the way, like I mentioned joking about the play early on, William George juked out a BYU defender who basically fell on his butt on the sideline trying to make a tackle. You have this uber-fast guy in William George. Why not do those quick three? They tried a little bit, but they just, I don't know how they weren't doing it well enough. They had the play where the wide receiver block. Like, you have the two, like, they kind of bunched the wide receivers, but they only did it with two. They throw to the one receiver and then have the inside receiver catch the ball, the outside guy block, but they can never get something like that going. I don't know why they didn't try to do more quick plays like that, those quick slants. Get him the ball as fast as they can, because he averaged almost 10 yards a touch. And yeah. So I don't. There's stuff like that, but BYU seemed the better team overall. You gotta wonder, even if they had Southwick, it wouldn't have mattered too much. They would probably have thrown a bit more. But I think the main thing came. This is like the worst tackling team I've ever seen. They were just awful trying to tackle Jamal Williams, Cody Hoffman, or anybody. I don't know what the deal was, but they were just barely tackling.
Yeah. Something needs to change at the end of the season.
There was some things they did. They did do better in the second half. But again, I think the main thing, at the end of the second quarter, the data, BYU had to drive four plays. What was it? Four plays, 79 yards. Four plays, 50 yards in 3 minutes. If they would have held them, at least one of those, I don't know if they could have made a difference. But if it's 10-3 at halftime or 17-3, it's a completely different game.
Yeah, this game could have easily been... What was it? 17-10 instead of 20-3 at halftime.
But it also could have been maybe, I think BYU could have 12 more points on the board to get above 50. Out of those four turnovers, they only scored three times on them, and two of those were field goals.
Yeah.
And so BYU had their chances to blow, like just to crush Boise State, even though it seemed that way. 17 points is not a huge victory in the scoreboard, even though it was dominant on the field, but I guess that what they need to change, I don't know if Hendrick, it's a tough game to come into. You play at home in Nevada. Yeah, Nevada's a big rival. You're playing at home, that helps you out, but this is a
what
big...
What are you talking about?
With Hendrick.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Him getting his... I'm still going back, like, this is a big start for him. From last week, having the comfort of playing at home, to go on the road to playing one of the best defenses in the country.
Yeah.
That's right. It's kind of it's a big jump, but going the rest of the way... Because we saw what Fresno did. They barely beat Boise State. Do you think it was just Southwick? Like, if they had Southwick, would there have been too much of a difference in this game? Would he have... Well, let me ask you this. Would he have been the difference for a win, perhaps?
Well, it's not just Southwick. I mean, you're missing Kirby Moore as well. You're missing, Yeah, remember, if Baltazar didn't tear his ACL, I mean, between Ajayi and Baltazar, this game would, I really think this is a youth and injury team.
You would get smacked at some places on the interwebs about saying that again for the second year in a row.
Probably. And I didn't say this is the second year in a row.
No. I mean, people were saying that last year. Young team, everything.
Look, but I mean, this is what I'm saying. And I didn't really get in a Twitter argument, but somebody mentioned, is this more like the 2007 team or if this was like the 2005 team? And I thought it was more like the 2005 team, but somebody actually really corrected and said, it's actually like neither team because the 2007 team didn't have the talent like this team, perceived talent. Whereas the 2005 team completely underachieved. Correct. This team has the talent. They're not underachieving, but they're not quite there yet. They're not fully developed.
They also didn't have Jeremy, what's his name, Ione in the secondary?
Yeah, they don't have Ione.
He wasn't there. One of the guy got – do you think on that – with a targeting call, do you think that was a legitimate call to get
– Oh, that was complete BS.
That's what I thought too, because where I was sitting, we're on – everybody in the press box, we're on the side where – it's same as this TV side for the play – initially, it looked like he just went straight at his helmet. But when they showed the other side...
The way that the replay was set up, it was shoulder to shoulder, and the helmets just happened to hit. There's nothing malicious about that hit at all.
Yeah, it was... He did lead with the shoulder and went high a little bit. And he may have nicked Hoffman's face mask, but... I'm surprised, the penalty the 15-yard penalty stands no matter what, but they reviewed to get ejected, and everybody, after watching three or four different times, seeing how he didn't leave his feet too early, it was still like a pretty bang-bang play where he's going to catch the ball and then doesn't want Hoffman to hold it in the end zone, which he didn't, but I don't think it should have been a penalty, whatever, that stands, but kicking him out, no. And even after the game, Hoffman's one of the guys we're talking to afterwards, and I made sure to ask him that near the end if he felt. He just felt as aggressive. It's hard for him to comment because he hasn't seen it. It was so quick. He didn't really say that he thought he was going after. He felt he was pretty aggressive on the play, but didn't think it was trying to just knock him out or hit him high. He felt as...
Tate, hold on. Remember that asking any BYU player will create some sort of story that may or may not be true. Remember Max Hall.
What, I hate you? I hate everything? That guy?
Or yes.
What are you referring to?
I'm just saying, players have a tendency to exaggerate stories.
No, he wasn't. No, I even asked him, I go, do you think he should have been kicked out of the game? He's like, or I asked him two different ways. I'm like, do you think he was going after your head to get you high? Or do you think he should have been kicked out? He's like, well, he just kind of said it was a very aggressive play. And he didn't want to really comment if he should be kicked out or not, because he had it. He's 10 minutes after the game. He hadn't seen it. They'll go back and watch every play. He just felt the play was really aggressive, but he didn't really think the intent was there. He just felt it was just pretty aggressive play.
Let's move on from this because we've talked about it way too much, probably more than we
should. Three losses for Boise State. Their 10 season winning streak is probably over. They got to win out.
They do have to win.
Oh, no. Yes. Yeah, they have to win out, and I don't think they can win out.
I disagree with you, but, you know.
Why, you think they're going to win? Winning out means winning the Mountain West title.
Never mind.
You remember that. That's not 13 games for Hawaii. They get that last game. No, this is beating Fresno. Which, that's could be up for debate in Fresno. But
Let's go. Come on.
Next game, Air Force, Notre Dame.
Let's move on.
No, this game. No, I wanted to watch part of this game. I watched the first half, and then it kind of slowly got away. Air Force. They did start the freshman Nate Romine, and he did okay. But Air Force started off good. They blocked up the field goal and went down and scored a touch. I'm like, hey, maybe there's something to this. 7-0. They might actually present a challenge for more than that first 5 minutes of the game. It was just what Notre Dame did. Tommy Rees played for Notre Dame, which we expected because he was out last week with an injury, but they are glad they're back up in the play because it was just awful against USC. But Air Force ended up with just 10 points. They're outscored 45-3 after the first quarter, or after the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
They did their thing. They got 300 yards in the ground. That's about all they really did. They turned the ball over twice, which really killed them. They had a few more penalties. They went for it on third down a lot. Notre Dame just outpowered them and just beat them. I thought they'd cover because they normally do in these games, but
yeah, I didn't watch this game at all, so
defer to me.
What?
Defer to me to discuss what happened.
Yes.
Yeah. All I could say, they had no run. Okay. After what I saw, I kind of thought if they're going to win, they need like Brohm Harch or Anthony LaCosta to do something special. Nobody really did. Even though they got the 290 yards, it's only 4.5 yards a carry. And that's anytime you play these teams, like we'll see when they play Army and when Navy plays San Jose State later. If you just give up 5 yards of play, but not those big 20 or 30 yard runs, you're going to beat this team. And that's pretty much what happened. And yeah, that's about all I got.
How do you let Tommy Reese throw 5 touchdowns?
Ooh. He had as many touchdowns as incompletions in 5.
That's
17 of 22.
Shame on all of you for making Tommy Reese look like a good quarterback.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Air Force also, they didn't have Ty MacArthur, which doesn't help, but yeah, there's not much to say. Air Force is not going bowling for the first time in a long, I guess since Calhoun's first year. Did they go to a bowl game in his first year? Do you remember?
I do not remember.
I remember they went 4-8 in Fisher DeBerry's last season. Let's see here real quick. Because they're 1-7. And you know their only win is against Colgate?
Yes, their only win was against Colgate. And the way that game started, we weren't even sure if they were going to beat Colgate.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it started off slow. Yeah, they've been to a bowl game every year in Troy Calhoun's season. So they're 1-7. Not going to happen. And it just hurts. They have so many injuries. They're down to their 4-string quarterback. Guys torn ACLs. All sorts of junk that really hurt them a lot. But let's move on, because Air Force is unfortunately not relevant for the first time in a while. Next game. This is Wyoming hosting San Jose State.
What? No.
Oh, sorry. I apologize. The Cannon.
Fremont. Cannon. So, okay. So, you guys thought... I'm going to go ahead and say this right now. You guys thought that I said that Brian Polian not winning the Cannon would put him on the hot seat. You guys thought I was ridiculous.
You are ridiculous for saying that.
He's not officially on the hot seat, but there was an interesting article by Chris Murray, Reno Gazette Journal, of basically what this game means to people. And the last time Chris Ault wasn't coaching, I've got to see who the coach was.
Mid-2000s for a couple years.
Yeah, it was 2000 to 2003. It was the 4-game winning streak for UNLV.
So you think
when Chris Ault was the athletic director?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the coaches. Who are the coaches?
I will find out. But you seriously think Bill Polian could be considered in danger for losing this game?
Okay, so hear me out. So when this other guy was coaching Nevada, and he was on a 4-game losing streak to the Rebels, he was fired after the 2003 season because of the fact, and Chris Ault cited this, for losing the Fremont Cannon.
Well, yeah, but that's four in years. A row. That's not one.
It doesn't matter. This is a serious first year offense. This isn't going to put him on the hot seat, but this is already going to feel a little bit of heat. You cannot lose the Cannon to UNLV, especially when you've had it for 8 years. That's what I'm trying to point out.
And the fact that
Nevada's 3-5, and probably games that they should be winning when they really haven't changed. The only thing that they've changed is their defensive system, and they really haven't improved. But I can tell you that they should have beat San Diego State. They should have probably beat Boise State, and they probably should have beat UNLV. They had the leads in all three of those games at one point or another. Significant leads.
Yeah, I understand you. But it's year one.
No, you're absolutely right. It is year one. But you're losing to a major rival. A rival with a 545-pound trophy.
It's not...
It's not the only thing in the state of Nevada that's worthwhile. Except maybe for Red Rock and Lake Tahoe, like the east side.
Chris Tomey, you mean?
And that's about it. Yeah, Chris Tomey.
I found it finally. I don't know why it took me so long online to find it, but Chris Tomey.
But let's not talk about how bad, this game was. Because this game was just flat-out sloppy.
A sloppy competitive game.
Sloppy competitive game.
Three turnovers, 105 penalties for Nevada, 2 of 50. I didn't realize this. They combined for each team, 7 of 30 on third downs, 2 of 15 for Nevada, 5 of 15 for UNLV.
Yeah, it was bad. Neither team could really convert on third down.
Where was the defense in this game? None? Non-existent?
For Nevada or for...
Either side.
There were important stops that needed to be made, except on the Nevada side. But, I mean, it was funny because each team, regardless of how sloppy this game was, each team stayed in it until basically UNLV pulled it out at the end. It was funny, though, because... And this was probably my favorite part of the game that basically summed it up perfectly. Fajardo threw an interception. His first interception in, 167 passes or something like that? Record?
I didn't catch that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a first time in a very long time that he threw an interception. He threw an interception. Two plays later, UNLV fumbles it.
Yep.
That sums up this game beautifully. And then... The penalties for Nevada.
105. Just
killing themselves. It was absolutely horrible.
And they didn't really have a very good running game. Fajardo was held to 29 yards. There's a Don Jackson sighting for 62.
Kendall Brock, 44. Nevada's front seven held really well.
You mean UNLV?
Yeah. Sorry.
Where was Brendan? Because Fajardo had a good game. I think Nevada could have ran the ball a bit better and cut down some penalties. Well, this game's close regardless, but if they would have done those two things, they probably would have came out victorious. But they had to come back because the fourth quarter, they couldn't do anything until the brand at UNLV was actually, that's when they're making, I guess, those specialized stops you're referring to, because they were down 21-16, 27-16, made it 27-22, and there wasn't enough time left to get on the board at the end.
People will argue that Nevada lost this game as much as UNLV won it. I really do think that UNLV won this game because if you look at the offensive statistics for UNLV, Caleb Herring, 29 for 42, 3 touchdowns, 0 picks, 335 yards. Tim Cornette, 26 carries, 122 yards. Shaquille Murray Lawrence was actually a non-factor in this game.
Yeah, because there's speculation because Cornette's injury, if he's able to play or not, he looked perfectly fine.
Yeah, but Murray Lawrence only had one carry for minus 2 yards.
Yeah, but when Cornette's rolling, normally, why would you...
Yeah, but normally he gets another couple. Normally he usually gets another couple.
Did he get any receptions?
No.
Oh, interesting. But here's how UNLV won the game. If you go, like I mentioned, the fourth quarter, they scored those two touchdowns. First possession in the fourth quarter, Nevada held the ball at the end of the third, going to the fourth. They had to punt. They were stuck inside deeper in their own territory, so it's a field position game here. They had to punt from their own 9. Luckily, UNLV had to punt back again, but they had to punt on their first possession with a good UNLV stop there. And there's another penalty, a false start. How do you get a false start on a punt? Come on. 4th and 16 to get a false start?
It's awful. Yeah.
But then UNLV has to punt, whatever. They're still winning. They're up by two. Or they're still. No, here. Sorry. Let me rephrase that. I didn't realize this. Nevada was winning going into that fourth quarter. 2 points.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. They're up by two. Looked at it wrong. So. Both teams have the pressure going on, but here's Nevada's second drive, fumble. UNLV picked it up. They go down and score a touchdown. To me, that's a UNLV positive play, not Nevada losing the game. UNLV forced a fumble.
No, and it was a dislodged hit. I mean, it was it was legitimate
fumble. And there was deep in, because field position game still hung around, as deep in Nevada's territory. So Tim Cornette rushes in, next possession, 3 and outs. There's a 3 passes and a rush play. 3 and out. Then UNLV goes down for an extended drive, touchdown. Then Nevada finally does something, but it's too late. And that's
I will also say that Nevada, the penalties also were caused by Nevada's discipline. I'll tell you, the one play that kind of, and I've never seen this before, but I'm not sure if it's, I think it's illegal. Two personal fouls, both accepted, for hitting the player, for hitting the punt returner out of the field.
On the same play?
Or two on times? The same play.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, on the same play. So the guy had stepped up for UNLV, and he was hit at the same time by two Nevada players. And it was flagged both times.
Interesting.
And he was clearly out of bounds.
I saw that. Yeah, that's two different plays. That's roughing the kicker, and then you can't interfere with, like, the guy out of bounds.
No, this wasn't roughing the kicker. This was still...
Oh.
No, this was still late hits. They were two late hits called.
On one play... On one... That's weird.
On two players on the same play.
How did that work? I don't recall that seeing that. What happened? How does that work? Two late hits on...
So basically, punt return. Okay, the guy catches the ball.
A late hit on the return man, then the punter?
Is that what you mean? No. It's on the same guy.
Okay, finish. That's, okay, go ahead and finish.
So the punt returner returns it, steps out of bounds, and is hit at the same time after he's out of bounds by two Nevada players.
How is that two penalties, though?
Because they're on two individual players.
Two separate players? Maybe I'm not understanding you. This was the ball carrier is out of bounds. He got hit by two guys late, and they gave two penalties?
Yes.
Were they together, the hits, at the same time? Yeah. How do you tack on? How do you make that two personal fouls?
I don't know.
I really don't know. Understood you.
I mean, it doesn't matter because UNLV punted that away. But
still interesting.
Just yeah.
So your full belief is because UNLV is the better team this year. They're 5-3. They've won 5 of the last 6 games. So you're confident that this is the best team in Nevada right now. Even with the close win, like if they played again, would you still take UNLV?
I would still take UNLV.
Okay. That makes sense. I think we agree because that secondary is not very good for Nevada or their defense in general. All right, let's move on. Fremont Cannon Dread. So let's move to the...
Red Cannon. Okay, anyway, continue.
Wyoming, San Jose State. Wyoming does it again.
Seriously, Wyoming, you had the lead. It was a significant lead at halftime. How do you end up losing this game?
Did you see the gif of the San Jose State guy hurdling the Wyoming defender?
Yes, I did.
That's pretty nice. Yeah, this was 16 to zip. Did you see that Robert Heron 93-yard reception?
I did not.
That was very nice. It was a quick
pass. I was watching this game periodically because I was also watching the UNLV Nevada game and was also watching Oregon UCLA.
Yeah, I was watching two. I had something on my phone, something on my computer, something on my TV, watching sporadically. But this game was on my TV for the time being, partly because ESPN3 can't get on your TV. But yeah, Robert Heron, 93-yard reception. They're looking good, 16 to zip. But then David Fell showed up with some deep passes, and there was two passes over 60 yards. But I don't get Sean Wicks. How many yards Sean Wick had?
I'm looking right now.
No, don't look.
Good Lord!
Yes, he had that many yards.
And so now that I've looked it up, let's go ahead and announce 234 yards, 17 carries.
Wow. Yeah. And then even Brandon Miller had 82. Jeez. We knew San Jose State didn't have a rush defense, but...
Oh, my goodness. He had more yards than Brett Smith had passing.
No, he didn't.
Sorry. Wrong. Wyoming rushing had more yards than Brett Smith passing.
Yeah, that usually doesn't happen.
I don't think I even remember the last time that ever happened, if that's ever happened before.
Man. We won't bother to look it up, but here, basically, Ron Carragher, they made second-half adjustments because that third quarter, Wyoming did come out
2 points.
Wyoming came out and scored quickly, but man, then they 21 points. Oh, 2-point conversion. Sorry, you're right. 22 points. Then it was a ball game, but Wyoming just their defense folded over and just couldn't do anything to stop them. And their offense, he did score 21 second half points, but when you give up a lot more than 21 points.
Yeah, when you give up 40, when you score 44 points and lose, something's wrong.
At home.
What? No, Wyoming wasn't at home.
Oh, my mistake. I'm sorry. I'm looking at... I saw the yellow at San Jose State and figured, oh, I'm sorry. This was... That's right. This was the... at... What's their stadium called?
You know? Spartan Stadium.
Oh, just some simple Spartan Stadium. I don't know what's up with Wyoming because they look good at times, but then they just kind of... Yeah, we'll see what happens. Let's keep it loose and keep going.
Let's.
How do you run? I don't get it. You run that many times, that many plays on the rush on the ground, that many yards, I should say, and then I don't know what happened here. They fumbled, like Brandon Miller fumbled the ball to start in the third quarter. I guess that's kind of maybe what started it. Wyoming scored, San Jose State scored, Brandon Miller coughed at the ball, San Jose State scored three plays later. Then punt for Wyoming, turnover. So no intercepted for Brett Smith. Yeah, I think all it was is that third quarter was just so awful that they couldn't recover.
I guess that's what it was.
They scored some points, gave up some points, two turnovers, and 14 points off those two turnovers was the game because that's all the turnovers they had, correct?
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
We'll play the bowl game after we're finished.
I'm just frustrated. I guess everything but the third quarter. You take away the third quarter for either team, and Wyoming wins just because.
Easily.
Yeah, they just didn't have a good quarter. That's all it was. And here's the thing too. I think David DeVils took our advice because there's three plays over outside the red zone for touchdowns. 30-yarder, 76, and 60-yarder pass.
Like, the game plan, just don't get to the red zone at all.
Keep it 30 yards and out, guys. So, yeah. And then, yeah, that
21 yards, perfect.
I wanted to make sure that was noted. Next game, two more games. Fresno hosting San Diego State. This is the Aztec team we expected to see all year. Am I right?
Yes. Yes. It was the Aztec team we expected to see. This is the Aztec team that could very easily possibly be 6-1.
We won't go that far.
At the same time, though, the way just things happen, the way the ball rolls, I mean, they could also be 0-7 at the same time.
Correct. There are some close games, but here's what happened. Overtime, Fresno won 35-28 for the battle for the oil can. That's a thing, yes.
And oil can. It doesn't have the same ring.
Not the same as the red cannon, but this was Derek Carr's worst game of the year by far, and it wasn't even terrible.
It wasn't good.
Well, for his standards, getting 400 yards is like nothing. He ended up with 298, two touchdowns, 35 of 57, but their running game just got stuffed because I guess that 4-2-5 is actually doing something this year for Rocky Long now. Adam Wayman looks fully healthy, 111 yards. Ruffian had 181.
Donnell Pumphrey even contributed minorly.
A little bit. Enough.
Who's this Chad Young? Is he a receiver?
Let's find out real quick. He's a senior fullback. They have a fullback?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I forgot about this. Oh, my. Were you watching this game?
At what point? Went on his touchdown?
So this is the last touchdown to basically help San Diego State into overtime. It was scored with about 6:15 left.
27-yard rumble from the fullback.
Fullback, Mansum football. Nice. Notre Dame collectively like exploded when that happened. 27 yards, touchdown.
Oh man, ESPN doesn't even have the highlight for it. I would want to see it because I didn't stay up this late for that part of the game.
He just bowled people over. I was like, who's the CM? Oh, and then it occurred to me.
They have a fullback.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It wasn't even just a fullback. It was just, oh, my goodness.
I know. This game. So what was the issue in the fourth quarter? Fresno rolled off some points. They scored 21 in a row. It looked like they were just going to blow this game out.
Yeah. So what happened? So what ended up happening was they scored.
Good analysis. They scored.
Great start. So Devontae Adams scored early in the fourth quarter, and then what happened was San Diego State was driving, and Fresno State forced a fumble and actually returned it all the way for a medium guy touchdown. It was a hero, Edirne.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm seeing that right now.
But then what happens is San Diego State comes back down, drives, 1 yard run, touchdown, and then a pooch onside kick.
What?
A pooch onside kick.
So like kind of a soft kick to about the 35?
Yeah, it was basically, so they kicked off from the 35. It basically hung in the air long enough because then I forgot who came down with it. But basically, there was not a single Fresno State player there.
Interesting. It just says here, recovered by San Diego State.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. It was one of those things that, you know, San Diego State was set to kick off deep. Fresno State was set to receive deep, and it was just bloop.
Everybody had their back to the going back to the return blocking.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of risky because there's 10 minutes left in the game and they're down by just 7 points.
No. It took serious balls.
Yeah.
But no, this wasn't 10 minutes. This was after the 8:54. So
Their drive started. Sorry, I hate using ESPN. Their drive chart says 9:51. That's when it started, not when they scored.
Yeah. So I mean.
Yeah, 8:54. 9 minutes.
Just a bloop, and see that was in. So then San Diego State drives down, and that's where the fullback pummeling touchdown happened. Except it wasn't even pummeling. It was just nobody could tackle him.
But then also, this is a game. Well, then Fresno State does nothing with the ball. But then San Diego State drives, and then what do you know? McMorrow misses the second field goal of the game.
Yes, wee little Seamus. Wee little Seamus misses the kick. Except it wasn't his fault that he missed the kick. It was legitimately blocked. Seamus McMorrow, true Aztec from Irish descent.
So, also, why did Rocky Long go for it so many times on fourth down?
Because he closed the playbook. Remember when Rocky Long took over?
Last year, yeah.
He said he was not going to punt, and he lied to us. And he decided that he's playing a good team now, so punting is out of the option.
Yeah, they had a chance to
still
win.
He still kicked it. He still punted it five times.
Yeah, he missed. They missed two field goals. And then overtime, we have to discuss the overtime because that's how Fresno State won the game.
Yeah, it was
nothing spectacular.
That was just – well, no, it wasn't spectacular. It was just hard-running football, and the defense actually stepped up.
Who got the ball first, and was it
Fresno State had the ball first. And that was interesting, too, because the coin toss – They asked Fresno State who wanted the coin toss, and Fresno State said they wanted, what was it? They deferred to San Diego State. San Diego
State. What?
No, I forgot. No.
You can defer. Wait, if that's the case, that person's not going to be captain anymore.
No, it wasn't a defer. Was it? Maybe it was San Diego State who called the coin up in the air. Yeah, because when in overtime, you always refer to the home team first.
Yeah, they pick, yeah.
Yeah, so San Diego State calls it in the air. He says the referee picks it up. It showed that it was for San Diego State, but the guy turns and asks the Fresno State what they wanted first.
What? It's a late night, man. Come on.
and then Fresno State wanted offense, I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Fresno State wanted the offense first.
What was that personal foul then? Because I'm noticing here that they had a personal foul on their first play.
I forgot. I really did forget.
I just see here, I'm looking at the drive chart. First play, personal foul. They get back up to the 40. Then they go...
I think it was a chop block.
Martiz Waller goes for 26 yards.
I think it was a chop block.
Okay. And, yeah, that's... What was the last play? I obviously didn't stay up late to see the final play.
It was a Quinn Kaler pass straight to... covered receiver, and
nice.
Basically Fresno State was able to swat it out of the hands.
Okay, so with this performance, is there actually there's been a couple performances, Hawaii, Boise State, this game. Is there a concern that Fresno's not as good as we're thinking they should be?
No, I think they're as good as they should be. I think what it is I think, A, they have a tendency to let up, and B, I think part of it, I think David Furker, our friend over from San Diego Sports Domination saying that this is a rivalry game, saying that San Diego State kind of really wants this. I think San Diego State probably played harder than they should have.
I think it's – I guess that can be part of it. I just think San Diego State's finally the team I thought they should have been earlier in the year.
Yeah, no, exactly. So they're finally showing up with their actual – you know,
team uniform, getting dressed up and suited up the right way, putting their pads
in
the right
spot. Something like that. Yeah.
All right. Final game. The late, late game. Colorado State travels all the way to Honolulu, Hawaii to sneak out a victory over the Warriors, who are now 0-8 or 0-7?
Yes.
0-7 Warriors.
No, sneaking out a victory by just basically giving up.
Yes, I see that now. 35-17, headed into the final quarter. Let's let Hawaii score some points. I see Hawaii just went with the duo quarterback, not the quadrant system we thought could happen.
Yeah.
I always like when they play four quarterbacks. That's what they have. Every time I see the Hawaii box score, how many quarterbacks did he play? If it's more than two, something really bad happened.
It was, you know.
So when did Taylor Graham get into the game? It was a close game, so when did he actually see some action?
The very end of the game.
They went to him at the end? Because he threw seven times.
They went to him at the end because they needed... they went to him for trying to throw deep balls.
Okay. I just see seven throws, that's all.
Because I know that he made the final play of the game.
Okay. This is an ugly game, man. Six total turnovers. How does Colorado State win with 115 penalty yards? Any answers for that?
No, because, like I said, the first two quarters, they basically controlled this game.
Or 35-17. Then they just kind of went, we're on the island. Let's go cruise control.
That's exactly. There were Colorado State fans on Twitter last night. They were saying, yep, this is what's going to happen. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And Hawaii made it close again.
Because Sean Schroeder had a pretty good game. This is probably the best game maybe ever for Hawaii. Threw for 349. Garrett Grace, I know our friend Brian's probably still not happy with how his performance is going for Grayson. His completion percentage wasn't too bad. 15-26, but threw for under 200 yards. But this CSU team is all Capri Bibbs. That's it. It's all him.
Pretty much. This is his team. Even Donnell,
Dude, 80 yards, man. Come on. Well, I see that 70-yarder there. That 70-yarder.
That's what's deceiving about looking at box scores is you really have no clue. I mean, he could have had a strong supporting role just barreling up the middle because Capri Bibbs is not somebody who barrels people over.
No, he is 5'11", 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay, but now let's move on. Okay, now that we're done with the games, not much more to talk about. We're on 0-12 watch for Hawaii. We have been since, week two, perhaps?
Yep.
Maybe we should do a weekly post of 0-for watch for the Warriors. Should we have our Hawaii correspondent living in Europe do that?
Yeah.
I always find that hilarious. Like, yeah, Hawaii guy? Yeah, he lives in Europe.
he lives in the UK.
Yeah.
I'll be seeing you soon, hopefully.
We'll see. Yes, Michael. No, we're just joking with you. Dude, he does great. So it's kind of...
But you know what? How awesome is it to bandwagon for a team that's halfway across the country? That's not even really that well known.
True. And it's not like the June Jones Hawaii team or even the mid-90s Hawaii team.
No, this is Norm Chow's Hawaii team.
Yeah. So let's stick with Norm Chow then. Is he going to hang around for year three?
Ooh, I don't know.
Is he going to be fired, or would he just say, I will step down. I've got my head coaching job and be done with it.
He might just step down.
Because there are rumors when he was at Utah for the 1 year, he'd basically shut down and be done by 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that's not what you want from a major conference coordinator.
He might just be getting old and not...
There's nobody within to replace him. I don't know what they would do, but what if you were to put kind of a percentage on there, what would you think his – would you – okay, let's start with this. Is he rather – if he's not going to be around next year because he's fired or because he resigns?
Resigns.
And I assume that would be a forced resignation?
Yeah.
Okay, and They have one winnable game on their schedule. I think it's home versus Army. Are they going to be able to beat Army at home?
Ooh. Army's 3-5 right now. They're looking... you know what? They're looking better than usual.
Okay. We'll see.
And I'll see. If Army beats Air Force this week...
Yeah, speaking of that game, that's a 10 a.m. local game. That's early, man.
Yeah!
I remember one game, there was a San Jose State wanted to be on ESPN. They took that 12 Eastern game at home.
Okay, so let's go ahead and talk
Bowls
about
or
this.
BCS?
BCS first.
Okay.
So BCS, Fresno State, 16th.
Yeah!
Ahead of Northern Illinois, ahead of the top AAC team.
Which is UCF, who's at 23. Louisville is 19.
Louisville 19.
But Louisville's not the division not the lead in the conference right now.
Yes. And also, it's funny because...
No Houston either.
It's funny because Fresno State has a significant lead. Has a significant lead over the 17th and everybody else.
In what regards?
In terms of the total BCS numbers. So Fresno State has a .3669 rating. Northern Illinois is the closest to them with .3335.
And that's even...
And that's, you know, 300ths of a score. Which is, I'm not sure how many people are in the math-oriented realm. That's a huge, huge number for the BCS.
Well, yeah, when you go four digits deep, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
Because if you look, at this, people were freaking out over Florida. I don't know if freaking out is the right word, but I think most people assume Oregon would jump Florida State. Their difference is almost the same between 2 and 3 is .03.
Yeah, .03. Well, I mean, And so
and then if you last look week, closer, I think it was
even closer.
Yeah, but even look at this. Like, here's how big it gets. Because Florida State is .92 at 3. Ohio State's .884. And then Stanford's all the way down to .79. That's just in the top five. That's huge.
It's absolutely significant.
And here's the thing. There's a couple of things I'm looking. I was kind of concerned, like going through the numbers as
I'll go ahead and raise it one more. Mm-hmm. Florida State. Okay, so last week Florida State was in second. Oregon was in third. The percentages were as Florida State .9348 and Oregon was .9320. So that's how close these scores really get. So anything that's over a hundredth difference. It's absolutely huge.
Yeah, if you're .01, that's a good amount to make up. Because of the computers and everything and all that average, that's where they go four deep. So here, I was looking at this with Fresno State. I was like, are they? Because Fresno State dropped in the coaches' poll. Because even though Virginia Tech lost to unranked Duke, they dropped down. UCLA dropped down, but not below Fresno. But then South Carolina jumped them. So jumped Fresno. So Fresno actually dropped to 17. But they move up because computers do not like UCLA and Virginia Tech's nowhere to be seen. So that's how they moved up. But if you look at the computer numbers, because last week we mentioned there's two computers that did not have Fresno ranked. This week, is it Ken Massey? Is that him? KM?
Yeah.
I wrote Massey. And then Richard Billingsley has him at 25. So, excuse me. Their computer ranking is .38 compared to NIU at .51, which is, like you said, that's huge. However, you're not ranked in one poll, and do you see which poll has and how high Northern Illinois is at?
It was the Sagarin poll, right?
Sagarin has been number 3.
Yeah.
They're top 20 in every poll. Top and bottom get tossed out, but they've already dropped a .01 from last week in a computer ranking.
Right now, Northern Illinois is getting some huge credit. Northern Illinois is getting some SOS. Huge credit right now for SOS, but even their SOS isn't that great. They're getting huge credit from the Iowa win at the beginning of the season.
That's what I mean, playing a big – I guess Big Ten's on
because
the
Because they so. Beat Purdue. They beat Purdue, but Purdue's absolutely horrible.
When you play two Big Ten teams, it's going to be better than just strength of schedule they consider.
Well, I think Purdue's actually ranked lower than Bethune-Cookman.
Could be.
I have to go check up the actual Sagarin total ranking. Yeah. But I think Purdue is way under 67th.
I can actually find it momentarily.
So, anyway. But, yes, BCS standings. Fresno State is actually sitting very pretty right now. You can only see – you've got a whole slew of SEC teams at between 11 and 15 there they're all going to play each other if they haven't played each other already, or they're going to play somebody that they're going to lose. I see South Carolina right now still has Clemson left.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah, they're not going to beat Clemson. They also have Florida, which...
The cocktail party next week. That's next week.
Yes. Well, that's not the cocktail party.
Oh, no, that's Georgia. Jeez, I'm sorry.
That's Florida, Georgia.
Correct, yeah. Texas A&M still has to play some good teams. Missouri's probably going to... Missouri's still in control for that.
Yeah, season. LSU still has to play Alabama and Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
As does Texas A&M.
Missouri plays Texas A&M. Miami plays Florida State.
And Miami almost lost last week.
Yeah.
Twice in a row they've almost lost.
Yeah.
They're not going to hang around.
Stanford could lose again if they have they played Oregon yet? No, they could lose to Oregon.
No, they play Oregon this week or next week.
Yeah, because there's a lot of teams that play each other. Auburn still plays Alabama, but I didn't mention that. Texas Tech still has TCU, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma on the schedule. So there's plenty of room to move up. But the main thing is, if you stay right now, season ends today, they would be considered, they'd be in a BCS bowl game. Because the UCF team is leading the AAC and behind. But there's a team that could sneak up on them is Houston, perhaps, because they've only have the one loss to BYU. They're undefeated in league play.
But Houston's not ranked either.
Not yet, but I'm going to check right now, but I don't think they've played UCF or Louisville yet.
No.
They smoked. I was watching Rutgers and Houston. Houston just crushed them, like seven turnovers. And yeah, here's where Houston will make their ground. They play South Florida, which is nothing special on Halloween, but then they go at UCF, at Louisville, back-to-back weeks. So by the time that November 16th, then when we get to the rankings in 3 weeks on November 17th, Houston should be ranked somewhere. I don't know if they'll be ahead, but if they win both those games, they'll be ranked for beating two ranked teams.
You know what? It just comes back to this. The AAC, the top of the AAC is not as good as the top of the Mountain West.
I don't know. There's not many good teams.
Maybe not this year. Maybe this year is just the exception to the rule. But I'm pretty sure that Fresno State could beat any of the top three American Athletic teams.
But they barely beat Rutgers in week one, Chris. You don't know anything. They needed overtime against a bad Rutgers team.
Right, a bad Rutgers team who's still probably going to be bowl eligible.
Yeah, all right, so is there anything else you want to add about the BCS?
Bowl predictions.
Okay, I actually have the rotation here because last week it kind of just blew out whatever. It's kind of like, hey, here's this and this. So here's what we got. If you look at it right now, automatic bids are Oregon, Alabama, title game. And then you have the I'm just going to go Stanford, going to Rose Bowl.
Okay.
And then in the Sugar Bowl, replacing Alabama, I don't know. That's a tough one. Would you say, who would they rather have, Auburn or LSU? Because LSU has, with Texas A&M.
Auburn.
You think Auburn will be in? Okay.
I think Auburn is going to be in just simply because of the fact that Auburn is going to be ranked higher.
Even if Missouri loses the title game, it's 11-2?
Yeah. It's one of those things that they're going to take the second highest SEC team no matter what.
Outside of Missouri.
And no matter what, the Sugar Bowl is going to get a good SEC draw.
Okay. I think Alabama might lose to either of those teams. But I would go Auburn. And then if we go to the bowl rotation, I should have written this down before. But then you got the Big 12 is going to the Fiesta Bowl. Is that still Baylor? I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's going to be.
Even though my brother, A&M grad, thinks this is the 1995 Baylor team, even though they haven't played the toughest of tough teams, they're quite good. So I'd say Baylor and then Florida.
But they only put up 70 against Kansas yesterday.
Yeah, only. Yeah. Florida State is going to the Orange Bowl. And then now here's where it gets. Let me go to the selection process. Big 10, Ohio State. Yeah.
Yep.
Big 12. Okay, here's what we got. At-large team. Okay, here's the rotation. Orange Bowl gets the first pick after replacement for the Rose Bowl, which is Stanford, replacement for Sugar Bowl, which is Auburn.
They're going to take their AAC team.
They can't. They don't have to.
I know they don't have to, but they're going to.
Why would they? It's not Louisville. Because everybody's hoping for that Louisville-Florida State matchup.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you want the draws, right?
What draws are going to be? You want Central Florida there? Central Florida versus Florida State in state
who
game?
Who else are? Okay, so who else is going to go there? That's an at-large.
Take another Big 12 team. Take Oklahoma.
Okay.
Right? Well, you don't have, when you're not forced to take an AAC team, why would you, right?
I guess.
Come on, think about it, man.
Yeah, okay.
It could be, or possibly, why not Miami playing Florida State again? Think they'd want a rematch in Orange Bowl?
Absolutely not.
No? Because it won't be Clemson, Florida State. I would think, because unless Oklahoma wins the Big 12, I would think they would take Oklahoma over the AAC team. And so if I'm saying it's Florida State, Oklahoma, the final, not final, but almost the final, where did my page go here? Sugar Bowl would take, okay, Fresno State or Central Florida. Jeez, that's awful.
For Sugar Bowl, I'd probably take Central Florida.
Or it could be Houston versus Auburn. Which
I think Sugar Bowl will end up taking the ACC team.
And then Baylor, Fresno. Okay, yeah.
Because I will tell you one thing about the Fiesta, despite their corruptedness or whatever, they do enjoy their mid-major teams there, especially since they're on the West Coast.
Or when they're forced to take two mid-major teams.
Or when they're forced to take two major teams. But it still drew a crowd.
Yeah. So are you in agreement to me, or would you switch it up? Because I had Auburn. I guess the only thing we difference would be the Orange Bowl.
Well, remember,
the
only thing that I'm switching up right now is I'm saying that Oregon-Florida State is going to be the championship game.
So who's Alabama losing to? Auburn? LSU?
Yeah. Either one of those.
So hold on real quick. Let me see something. The SEC, because Auburn's already lost. So, yeah, so unless... Yeah, the only way Alabama doesn't get the title game is if they just fall apart and Auburn does too. So you're thinking it'd be an Auburn-Missouri SEC title game?
It could be.
So, okay, how do you figure that in? So if you say Florida State-Alabama, which is fine, you have Auburn winning the SEC?
No, Florida State-Oregon.
Or excuse me, Florida State-Oregon, yes. So you have Auburn winning the SEC to the Sugar Bowl, then does Alabama go to the Orange Bowl?
Well, no. See, you said change things up, so I'm assuming Alabama then takes the Sugar Bowl spot. Then
No, they can't. No, because Auburn. You said Auburn's going to win the SEC title.
No, because you asked me. You were assuming that Alabama was going to make the title game as of right now.
What is okay?
This is what I got. Oregon, Florida State championship.
Okay.
Okay. So then SEC Sugar Bowl, right?
Yeah.
You take Alabama then.
Well, so but how does Alabama? Alabama is not going to drop the three. There has to be a loss there.
Yeah, there has to be a loss. It's either going to be Auburn or LSU.
Okay.
Or they're going to lose in the SEC title game.
You're missing the point. Then
take your choice.
No. You can't go to the Sugar Bowl if you don't win the SEC.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. You're telling me Alabama is still going to Sugar Bowl, which means they're going to still win the SEC title.
So what you're telling me is that Alabama, if they don't stay undefeated, that they're not going to win the SEC.
No, what I'm saying, because if they lose, if everybody wins out and they lose to Auburn, Auburn has head-to-head. Auburn goes to the SEC title game, plays South Carolina, and wins.
Is that how they do it? They don't do highest ranked?
Not if you have head-to-head. It's always head-to-head. Highest rated is like after three or four tiebreakers, head-to-head, common opponent, that type of stuff. So that's what I'm saying. If you have Alabama not...
But see, Auburn, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Auburn still has too many teams to still play that they could possibly lose.
So, okay, your assumption is Alabama loses a game, makes the title game, SEC title game, but just goes to the Sugar Bowl then.
Yes.
Okay, I was trying to make things clear because you made it seem like they're going to lose to Auburn. On my assumption, Auburn's going to... Because that's the last game of the year, too. So you assume Auburn's stumbling before then?
Yeah, they've got enough games.
All right, just making sure we're on the same page. So you got Alabama just losing, but 12-1 going to the Sugar Bowl. Okay, continue.
Okay, so then you take the Orange Bowl taking their first at large. Then they'll take either Auburn or the other SEC team.
Okay, makes sense. Probably, I'd say Auburn or LSU, yeah.
Right? So then after that...
They pick again.
The Orange Bowl picks again. No, the Sugar Bowl picks.
No, because Orange Bowl gets the replacement of Florida State first.
They can pick Clemson again. There.
So they would take Clemson, Auburn game?
They would take Clemson.
Not bad. Okay. Makes sense.
So then Sugar Bowl would then take your ACC team.
Alabama, Central Florida, or Houston? Jeez. Actually, I'd like to see Houston play Alabama if that were the case because they. Somehow create
spread offense, high powered.
Well, and they create a million turnovers a game.
Yeah.
And John O'Quinn, right. Watching him play, he is amazing.
So, okay. So then after that, then you've got the Fiesta Bowl and the Rose Bowl. So, and those are set.
So I assume Stanford's were taking over Oregon spot or UCLA?
Probably
Stanford at this point.
Yeah, probably Stanford at this point.
Assuming they don't win the title. So you have two ACC teams, and then your Big 12 team's Baylor? Or do you have Oklahoma?
My Big 12 team is Baylor.
So who would you have Fresno play then, Baylor or Oklahoma?
Baylor! Oh, who I'd rather see them play?
Yeah.
Who has a better chance of winning?
Yeah, I'd say Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
But Baylor could be 88-82.
Right. Where did Baylor show up in the BCS rankings tonight?
Oh, they were, let's see, number five, I think. Six.
You know what? They're an outside chance for a national title game.
You know what I'd like to see in the final year? Also, I don't think we mentioned this on air, but we mentioned before. So, you know, Jeff Sagarin is part of the BCS rankings. He just up in whatever reason last week changed his formula midseason, midweek. Way to go. A lot of credibility there.
We talked about this before. This was an SB Nation article before, but how awesome would it be, okay, in the BCS standings to see, okay, Stanford's going to trip up, Ohio State trips up, Florida State trips up, Alabama somehow trips up, and it ends up with an Oregon-Baylor national championship game.
Woo!
Or just Oregon-Baylor bowl game.
The only way it's Oregon-Baylor bowl game is national title game, because with the 100th Rose Bowl, it's not going to be outsiders playing unless they can help it. And so, you know what I mean? I'm just saying.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The only way, I guess, if Stanford somehow gets – no, you need – there's no way unless it's a title game.
Yeah, and Stanford's going to lose. Stanford's – we're assuming Stanford's going to lose to Oregon here.
Yeah, they're kind of dipping a bit. Not really, but – also Utah, but yeah, they are. So maybe I mean, what I'd like to see is, I know it's not going to happen because we talk about every year, there's still a ton of games left, but Alabama undefeated, Oregon undefeated, Florida State undefeated, Ohio State undefeated, Baylor undefeated, Miami, well, they can't, but five undefeated teams would be nice, but it's not going to happen.
And just cause complete chaos in the BCS?
Well, yeah, because we've already had three undefeated major teams, the playoffs next year, one last stick it to you that the BCS is crappy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because if there's five, because if there's three, whatever. Because I guess it's given Ohio State.
Okay, we're getting way too off topic here, but yeah.
Baylor, Fresno State, 100 points.
Yes.
Each.
Yes.
Each.
No defenses whatsoever. Okay. So how about this? How about your bold projections as of right now for our Mount West?
Well, Fresno, Baylor.
Okay.
Let me look at our bowl tie-ins here.
We got Las Vegas Bowl, San Diego Credit Union.
Las Vegas Bowl, I would. I guess Boise State, but I don't.
Here's the thing. So they've got the first pick. Do they have the number one? Do they have the number one place? Or do
no,
they have
pick.
The first
it's
pick?
All picks.
It's all pick. So if the Mountain West has the number one pick, how would you like to see UNLV play at home? Like they just purposely pick UNLV as the number one team as basically a virtual home game versus a Pac-12 team.
It could. I don't know if they would. If I'm going right now, I would think. I bet they'd take Boise State. So I'm not going to go their opponent because there's still a lot of stuff going on. Boise State, Pac-12 team. But I'd say, I think it's going to be similar to last year. Las Vegas, Boise State. Poinsettia, San Diego State.
Ooh.
You don't think they'll
really?
Take, why not?
I think I think Utah State would get Poinsettia Bowl.
I guess if they want to be, I guess, a little bit more fair.
Or San Jose State.
I don't know. I need to look at this.
I don't know.
I think they'd want the.
If
home
San Diego
team.
State finishes the rest of the season undefeated, then I'll see them taking the points out of here.
They'd be 8-4. And they do have possible New Mexico, San Jose State, Hawaii, 7-5. UNLV. Yeah. Because I think Idaho Bowl would want Utah State. But that'd be the. No, I think you'd be right. Utah State, because the Utah State's been in the Idaho Bowl the past 2 years. So I get Utah State, San Diego. San Diego going to Idaho. San Jose State going to... No, I'd go Wyoming first over San Jose State right now. Wyoming in the New Mexico Bowl. I'm just shooting from the hip here, actually.
You mean Armed Forces?
No. I'd say Wyoming in the... No.
Are you saying Wyoming's actually making a bowl game here?
Of course, yes. I'm still confident, and I'm sticking with them. I have to. Come on.
Okay, fine.
You were adamant about UNLV, and they proved you right.
I was adamant about New Mexico, and then I changed to UNLV.
Let me rephrase what I'm going to say here. We're going to have I'm not going to go bowl locations. I need to write it up before because I don't want to do it the last time, waste 10 minutes. Here's bowl teams. Fresno, UNLV, San Jose State, San Diego State, Boise State, Utah State. Ooh, Wyoming and Colorado State? Could they both get 6 wins? Let me take a look real quick before I proceed. So 4-4 CSU.
Colorado and 7, remember that.
Oh, that's right, correct, yeah. Because they can
be Colorado, and Colorado has Nevada, New Mexico, Boise State, Utah State, Air Force. They need 3 wins.
Interesting. I think
they can get it. Nevada, New Mexico, Air Force.
Here's the thing about Wyoming. I'm going to say no to Wyoming because it pains me to say it. But the way they play up and down, they're not going to beat Fresno. I don't think they'll beat Boise. They'll beat Hawaii. Utah State's a toss-up. And if they played like they did against Texas State or CSU, they're not going to win. So I'm going to go no CSU, no Wyoming.
Okay, so I'm going to go Fresno State, UNLV, San Jose State, San Diego State, Boise State, Utah State. I'm going to go ahead and say that Colorado State's going to get that 7th win.
That is risky there.
That is risky, but if you look at the 2 teams, Colorado State and Wyoming, right?
No, I agree with you. I think even though they need an extra win, it depends. If Wyoming plays like they played against
Wyoming has 4 games. Wyoming has 4 games left. Wyoming has 4 games left to get 2 wins.
Yeah.
They play Fresno State at home, at Boise State, at home versus Hawaii, and at Utah State. I'm not sure. I think the environment at Utah State is going to be too much on a road. I think, especially now that they blew it against San Jose State, even though they had the lead, I think that Utah State will beat them. I think they're going to finish 1-3. As opposed to Colorado State, who has been consistent on the road this year, or at least the last 2 games, they've been played on the road and they've, you know, beaten their opponents. They've got Boise State at home. Okay, that's a loss. Nevada, New Mexico, Utah State, Air Force. They won't beat Utah State, but they'll beat Nevada at New Mexico State and at home versus Air Force.
I think they could beat Utah State.
You think they could beat? Okay, maybe. Well, they could then, yeah.
I'm just saying, they have enough games where I'd at least give them a chance. Like, I wouldn't, the only game that would surprise me them winning is beating Boise State. I think even Boise State, they have the extra time to prepare. November 2nd is that next game. So we'll see. I'm right now saying no Wyoming, no CSU, but we'll have the rest of the teams in the league. So I think they'll fill out their bowl spots because if I go with my route, that's what, 6 teams I said or 7 teams?
6 teams.
So they'll be missing 1 bowl good spot, but whatever. You got 7, so I will make it. I'll do this for next week. I'll make a better effort and actually write down these bowl projections for me and the BCS so we don't waste probably 12 and a half minutes fumbling who goes where. So, is there any last words you have?
No.
Your final words of the week. All right, so this is a week 9 show. I hope everybody enjoyed listening to our ramblings about what BCS team goes where. And we will be back probably Wednesday or Thursday for a recap or preview of next week's game. And, hope everybody check out MWCConnection.com and enjoy your rest of your week.